Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer. Bank of America is in retrenchment mode. It'll be shedding 30,000 workers and billions in expenses. Maybe the name is a little too appropriate these days. Joining me to talk about the bank and what its problems say about America's banking industry and New York specifically is WNYC's business and economics editor, Charlie Herman. Welcome back to the show, Charlie.
Thank you, Andrea.
So do we know who these 30,000 people are losing their jobs in the consumer banking area, branches, credit cards?
That's largely where we're going to see a lot of these cuts, most likely in the consumer division, in the small business, some of the back office technical support, credit card division. Bank of America is doing this in two phases. They're calling this Project New Back, BAC, which is the stock ticker for Bank of America. And this is the first phase. They say that by the time these cuts go through, they'll be able to save about $5 billion a year. And starting in October, they'll start doing a second phase where they'll probably be cutting back in commercial banking and in investment banking, some of those divisions.
So Bank of America's headquarters are in Charlotte.
But a large presence here in New York at One Bryant Park, the brand new, very tall green building that they have that was finished just a couple of years ago.
So should a lot of the New York employees be nervous?
Well, I mean, there are a lot of branches here in New York City and in the surrounding area, and there's the expectation that some of them could be closed. I mean, it may be a little bit like the Starbucks phenomenon when people would say, oh, there's a Starbucks across the street from the Starbucks, which is across the street from a Starbucks. There are so many bank branches, not just for Bank of America, but a lot of them that have taken up a lot of retail space in New York City. It's possible that some of those may close, but that doesn't necessarily mean that consumers are going to have a hard time finding a bank that's open. It may just be some consolidation.
Are there other consumer effects?
The bank is stressing that the consumers really won't see it that much. They're really trying to say that what we're trying to do is get rid of redundancies that are here. I mean, keep in mind that from about 2003 to about 2008, the Bank of America had about six major acquisitions. And the CEO of the company, Brian Moynihan, yesterday during an investor conference call, talked about how the company had about 133,000 employees, but when they brought in all these other companies, it added about 200,000 employees. So the company is close to 300,000 workers. What they're trying to do, or what they're saying is like, look, we really need to take a look at our businesses. We have a lot of redundancies, a lot of things that overlap, and we need to try and streamline our business, and that'll make us more efficient and bring in more profits.
So this is about 10% of the employees.
It's about 10% of the workforce, exactly.
And, you know, one of the things about this that's interesting is it was sort of bringing me back to the fall of 2008. My bank was Washington Mutual. Remember?
Yeah, they're not around anymore.
And there was this experience of, like, so many banks were closing. So many banks were swallowing up. You know, there just seemed to be an announcement every day. Is this a unique phenomenon, or are we going to be seeing a whole bunch of reorganization?
I think there's echoes of what we saw 3-4 years ago, but it's not quite the same thing. I mean, what we're in right now is an economy that's much more different. I mean, in the sense of we went into recession, we started to come out of it. Now there's these questions of, are we going back into recession? So there's slow economic growth. You have much greater consolidation within the banking sector that we saw after 2008. And at the same time that you have this consolidation, the companies need to make more money. But the demand for loans is down. The willingness of banks to actually give loans is down. The underwriting standards are really tough. You talk to businesses and they'll say how hard it is to get a line of credit. Then you also look at new federal regulations that really cut into the fees that banks can charge. Whether you like it or not, banks made a lot of money off of higher interest rates for credit cards and fees for overdrafts or for being late on payments. A lot of those have gone away, those big fees that they had. So they're not bringing in as much money as they used to. And when you're this big, you need to bring in a lot of money to be profitable. And so they're trying to find ways to cut back and be more efficient. You're seeing cuts at a lot of different banks, not just here in New York City, but a lot of regional banks are cutting their staff or trying to consolidate and get smaller. We're really just seeing kind of a retrenchment in the financial sector.
Listeners, you're listening to the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC, AM and FM, and on WNYC.org. I'm Andrea Bernstein, filling in for Brian, speaking to WNYC's Charlie Herman about Bank of America's decision to lay off 30,000 workers. We can take a couple of calls on this. Are you a Bank of America customer or employee? What does this mean for you, or what do you think it might mean for you? Are you worried? Call us at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. You can also post your comment to WNYC.org. Click on the Brian Lehrer Show. Charlie, Warren Buffett sort of seemed to be making the argument Bank of America was too big to fail when he came up with the $5 billion to shore up its stock price. Is there a sense that we're going to be seeing more of these kinds of infusions into Bank of America?
Well, I mean, it's hard to sort of know what to make of that. During the height of the crisis in 2008, Warren Buffett did a similar thing with Goldman Sachs. He gave, you know, a loan of $5 billion to Goldman Sachs, and that turned out to be very profitable for him. So by doing that, not only did he say, I still believe in the banking sector, I believe in Goldman Sachs, and that gave a real boost of confidence, he may have been trying to do a similar thing to Bank of America. He may have thought this is a good investment. He may also believe that the government is not going to let a Bank of America, which is currently the nation's largest bank, default or, you know, go into bankruptcy like a Lehman Brothers sort of situation. So he's putting in this investment. But someone else pointed out to me, like, wow, what does that mean for Bank of America? I mean, right now, if the bank wanted to get money from the Federal Reserve, the interest rate is almost zero. But they'd rather go to Warren Buffett and get this money and pay a higher interest rate because there's a certain clout. There's a certain consumer confidence building when Warren Buffett stands behind you.
Weren't we supposed to stop having this discussion after 2008 about too big to fail?
A lot of those rules are still being worked out now. I mean, you just heard, for example, the FDIC is just coming up with the rules that the banks will have to read and understand to come up with what's being called a living will. Basically, if I'm a bank and I look like I'm about to collapse or I'm going to have some sort of financial problem, this is the will that basically spells out how you would break me apart without destroying the economy. And so those rules are just being promulgated now. A lot of Dodd-Frank, which was the big rule that was passed in Congress to reform the financial industry, the regulations are still being written. So too big to fail. A lot of people say it's gone. A lot of others will argue,
guess not.
No, it's not. And in fact, the banks are bigger than they were before.
All right. Ed from Carroll Gardens. Hi, you're on WNYC.
Yeah, hi, Andrea. I just think it's absolutely reprehensible that Bank of America is laying off tens of thousands of workers with all of the billions of dollars that they have gotten from the government to survive. I mean, part of, you know, they're actually not doing what they're supposed to be doing, which is lending money to businesses, as you were just talking about. But, Jesus, I mean, can't they even at least keep people employed for part of that billions when they're still making profits?
Ed, are you a Bank of America customer?
I am a Bank of America customer, but not for too much longer.
All right, thanks
so you're
for
leaving,
your call.
Not worried necessarily about the bank going under, but just angry at the bank.
All right, thanks for your call, Ed. Charlie, something about that, about all the banks, you know, these earning reports are coming in. They seem to be doing fine.
Well, you know, they are and they aren't. I mean, one of the big outstanding things here, especially for Bank of America, really for all the banks, but in particular Bank of America, is the mortgage crisis, the housing problems that we're still in. I mean, there are so many lawsuits and liabilities that are out there. There are investors suing Bank of America. And when I say Bank of America in this case, really, it's almost all the banks that made mortgages. There are investors. The federal government recently announced a lawsuit against them. You've got AIG, the big insurer that was bailed up by the government, suing Bank of America. You have state attorneys general suing them. You have class action suits. I mean, literally everybody is piling in, and nobody really knows how much money the banks are going to have to pay out. Now, a bank spokesman had said, look, we're not streamlining this to save money for to be able to pay these legal issues. We're streamlining because this is the smart thing to do. But the reality is they have this big, you know, liability out there. They don't know how much money that's going to cost. And, you know, a lot of people are angry at the bank, saying you should do more to help out these homeowners. You should not be laying off people, as Ed just mentioned on the call. But there's this real mixed message. The government stepped in and said, look, we're going to bail you out with all these billions of dollars. Oh, and by the way, we're going to sue you for billions of dollars for your actions. So it's kind of just the circular of the money saves you, and then you turn around and pay us back for the lawsuit. It's a little.
Did this just take time to build? Is that why we're having this discussion now, all of the lawsuits? And
part of it, I mean, because out of 2008, things were really bad. The banks laid off a lot of people. You saw a real shrink in the financial sector, especially here in New York City. Then as things started to get better and as they were trading off of some of the money that they actually got from the government, they started to increase and they got bigger and they started hiring people back. And now that the economy is slowing down again and they're still not making these loans and they say demand is down and the quality of people asking for loans is not good. And then you have the businesses and individuals saying, well, no, actually, I do have good credit. You're just not giving me a loan. The combination is they're not providing as much loans as before. That's where they make money. And if they're not making money, they're going to try and find other ways to do it. And part of that is laying off people.
Let's take another call. Michael from East Harlem. Hi, you're on WNYC.
Hello there. I'm not a customer of Bank of America, but I do have a history with it because I'm from North Carolina. And I remember when they used to be called North Carolina National Bank, NCNB. My question is for your guest is, how do you respond to people who say that 30,000 people are now without a job because of bank regulations, and therefore bank regulations should be stopped? Thank you.
Thanks for your call, Michael.
Well, there are a lot of people definitely in the banking world who say these regulations are making it too difficult for us to do our job, that we can't charge the fees that we did before. And then you'll have consumer advocates that'll say, yeah, but those fees push people into bankruptcy, or we're too onerous on people. So it's always trying to find that right balance between regulation and preventing 2008 from happening again, and at the same time, letting banks be able to do what they do and take the money that they get and lend that out to other people. I mean, if you think about what's going on in a broader picture with Europe and the U.S., there's been a lot of complaints about the regulators have been too tough on the U.S. banks. But at the same time, there's an acknowledgement that the U.S. banks are in much better situation. They have much more cash on hand to handle another crisis, should that happen, than the European banks, where there's just a general consensus that they're sort of like what we were several years ago. And if there's a big crisis there, you could see a lot of problems with the banking sector in Europe.
So do you think that, you know, 2011, in fact, the banks are sort of have come out of some of the problems they were having in 2008?
Oh, I definitely think so. I mean, they have definitely recapitalized. Basically, they have more money on hand. They're getting a better, you know, control over where the money is going and making sure that it's that the loans that they're making are not going to go into default, or that they're better loans. But it's that whole pendulum. Did they go too far, you know, in the mid 2004, 2005 in terms of giving a loan to, you know, especially mortgages, to if you could fog a mirror, you could get a loan. Now are they going too severe to the other side? And regulations always plays a role in there. And if they're too tight, then maybe you turn the spigot off too much. And then that prevents banks from making loans, and that prevents people from getting mortgages or small business loans. I mean, let's keep in mind, if you're a bank, why would you want to give a loan to somebody? And there was a report that just came out this morning that found about, I don't know, a third of homes in the U.S. are underwater, meaning that people who have a mortgage, they owe more on their home than what the home is worth. So if you're a bank and someone came to you and said, hi, I'd like to refinance, well, would you want to refinance if that home is actually worth less? If the person went into foreclosure, you'd get less money. So the banks are really cautious about where they want to spend their money, and that's one of the factors I think that's preventing economic growth, is they're not giving money to that small business owner who could go hire people.
Isn't the administration kicking around plans to sort of help some of these underwater homeowners? And if they do, what does that mean for the big banks?
Well, I mean, there are plans that are out there, but and there have been programs to try and help people who owe more on their home than what it's worth, but they haven't been incredibly successful for a lot of people who are actually in foreclosure, who have gotten some relief from federal programs. Oftentimes, they fall back into foreclosure again. So it's a really difficult thing to fix right now.
Are any of these administration plans, I mean, they say we have new, you know, plans, we're going to help out more homeowners. There's a sort of acknowledgement in the Obama administration that, you know, the banks sort of were perhaps saved from the brink, not so much the homeowners. So I'm wondering whether any of these new plans are going to be any different, or is this sort of, you know, all talk?
It feels like a little bit of talk. I mean, we're sort of at this period where interest rates are at record lows and people are still having a difficult time refinancing. The housing market is really just kind of the one of the key things to be fixed, along with jobs. And there's just not an easy solution for it. And we're just kind of plodding along. And the banks are so worried about foreclosing on homes because of the lawsuits, because of concerns raised about their own practices. Granted, some of this they brought on themselves. A lot of this they brought on themselves. They're so worried about proceeding with foreclosures, they've got a huge backlog of homes that at some point they need to start putting it through the process. And one analyst I spoke to yesterday said, you know, we're probably going to see home prices flat for a long time, or possibly drop in the future. We've got many years before the housing crisis really begins to resolve itself and prices start going back up, depressing as that is.
Charlie Herman is my guest on WNYC. He's the WNYC's business and economics editor. Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer. We're talking about Bank of America's layoff of 30,000 employees. 212-433, WNYC, 212-433-9692. Wondering if you are a Bank of America employee, or maybe you're a Bank of America employee and you don't want to call us because you're worried about that would not reflect well on you if you were on the radio in the middle of the day, but maybe you are related to a Bank of America employee and want to give us a call. 212-433-WNYC is the phone number. Let's take a call from Sharon. Sharon, is it? From Manhattan. Sharon? Sharon? Hello? Okay, I don't think we have Sharon or Sharon from WNYC. Let's go to Russell from Manhattan. Hi, Russell.
Hi, how you doing? I just had a quick question because either I'm confused or something's confused. My understanding is that all the banks paid their TARP loans back a long time ago, and there is no longer government money in any of the big banks. So to me, it makes perfect sense that now the government is taking the opportunity to, you know, start to challenge the banks for what brought on the crisis in the first place.
All right. Thanks for your call, Russell. Charlie?
In the case of Bank of America, they have paid back the government. And I believe you're correct. There may still be a few smaller banks that have not paid back all the TARP money. The question that some have raised is, so you had to step in and the government provided billions of dollars to shore up the banks, and they are in better shape now. And then the government turns around a couple years later and sues them for the actions. And on one hand, it makes sense, but it's also this very sort of contradictory policy, especially at a time when the Obama administration is talking about banks need to get out there and loan more. We need to pressure banks to do more to help out homeowners. And at the same time, the administration sort of writ large is also suing the banks for their actions. If you're a banker, you might listen to that or look at that and say, why do I want to help out this administration? On one hand, they're trying to pressure me to help and put my money at risk. And the other hand, they're suing me for I don't know how much millions, billions of dollars that I may have to pay out. So maybe I'll just sit here and not do anything at all.
And we have a call from someone who tried to refinance. John from the Jersey Shore. Hi, you're on WNYC.
Yeah, thanks. I was a Bank of America customer. My mortgage was with them in all my accounts. And then in January of this year, went to refinance because at the time the rates had hit record lows and everything seemed to be fine, and they thought I could save a few hundred bucks a month, and I paid $500 for this, you know, to go through this process, sort of like getting another mortgage, but they said the house had to appraise for a certain amount. Their own appraiser came through, and he gave us an appraisal that was so ridiculously low. Of course, I didn't get the loan, and I lost my $500, but then when I did pay a local appraiser, so I paid twice to appraise the house. They explained to me why this guy's, the Bank of America guy's appraisal was so, you know, just so such a low ball. It wasn't, you know, wouldn't even be considered by, you know, most professionals. So it just seemed like a scam. It's like, get my $500 and then send in some guy to lowball so they know I'm not going to be able to refinance. And it was like a lose-lose for me. Didn't get to save a few hundred bucks a month and was out $500.
All right, John, thanks for your call. Charlie, is that a common story?
Well, it is in the sense that there's been a real change in the whole appraisal process. And a lot of it now, the banks have to go to a third party to get appraisals. And appraisers were so criticized in a way during the run-up in housing prices where they, you know, make this home this amount of money. Somebody, an analyst was telling me yesterday about a story of how with a loan that she had from Countrywide, they basically did a drive-by appraisal. They didn't even look inside the house. They just drove by and looked at the house and compared it to prices nearby. So the appraisal industry is significantly tougher. I can say, even from personal experience, similar sorts of things where they came in lower than what sales prices are, or even when you had comparables. So they're trying to, again, this goes back to regulation and maybe the pendulum swinging too far of the appraisals becoming much, much tougher than perhaps they would have been. And in the case of John, you know, the disappointing thing there is if he had an interest rate of, say, 6 or 7% on his home and were able to take advantage of a lower rate of 4.5% or 4.2%, that's several hundred dollars a month that he would now have available to spend on other things. And if he didn't save it, if he went out and actually spent it, then that would lead to demand to businesses. And then if businesses saw that demand from people spending, they could start hiring people. I mean, this is this big question. Rates are really, really low, but there's still millions of homeowners out there who can't take advantage of those lower rates. They can't get them. And if they could, that would put a lot more money back into the economy. Consumers could spend more. And in this case, banks don't want to do it because either the home is worth less or they're just hesitant to make a refinance loan.
All right, let's take one last caller, Alicia from Ridgewood. Hi, you're on WNYC. Alicia?
Oh, yes.
Hi, you're on the air.
How are you? I was a former customer with Bank of America, and just a few months ago received a notice in the mail in regard to a class action lawsuit pertaining to their overdraft fees, and I just wanted to know what that would mean down the road.
I don't have specifics on that particular program, but there are so many lawsuits that are out there against many of the banks for different issues. It could just be that the bank is being charged in a lawsuit for anyone who has ever, class action lawsuit for anyone who's ever had to pay an overdraft fee and perhaps claiming that those were improper or illegal. You would probably have to give a call to, there's usually an attorney that's mentioned on those forms that you could call and find out more information about the suit and if you qualify for it.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you for your call, Alicia. And finally, Charlie, 30,000 employees. Earlier in the show, we were talking about 100,000 employees being laid off. I mean, this cannot be good news for the jobs numbers.
No, it's not. I mean, these numbers won't happen all in one month and suddenly you see a drop. It'll be spread out over time. But this is the worst announcement of job layoffs for the year. The U.S. Postal Service announced 30,000 earlier this year. But from a private sector company, this is not great news. And it's not great news for a president who today is out touting his jobs bill and what needs to be done to grow the economy. And for a lot of people who work in the banking sector, if it's shrinking, that means there's fewer jobs available for them. There's some stats. It's from its peak to where we are now, it's down nearly 10%, the number of employees that work in the financial sector. So a lot of those people who maybe have, you know, skills, who are highly educated, they're going to be looking for jobs elsewhere. It doesn't make the situation better when it comes to fixing the jobs the jobs problem and unemployment rate.
And on that cheer note.
I'm sorry. I always am like the prophet of doom.
Charlie Herman, business and economics editor at WNYC. Thanks so much for joining me. When we come back, we will talk about polygamy. And if you're for marriage equality, should you be for polygamy and vice versa? That's the issue we'll take up after this.